Who is your shepherd? Why do you think sheep need a shepherd? Well, the answer is quite obvious, isn't it? Sheep without a shepherd are prone to stray away from pastures and into harm's way. Straying sheep are apt to be attacked by hungry wolves and mountain lions, and in rural Ontario, it's coyotes that prey on sheep. Actually, while we were in Toronto, not far from where we used to live, the coyotes had gotten a taste for people's pets, their dogs and their cats, of all things. Straying sheep are prone to wander into canyons and into areas where there's no food or water, and they end up suffering and even dying from hunger and dehydration. This being said, however, the reason people keep sheep is because they're valuable. For centuries, people in many parts of the world kept sheep for their wool, their meat, and in some places, yes, they even kept them for milk. In some cultures, it was, and still is, sheep that represents currency, and it's not money. In some parts of the world, a person's wealth is calculated by how many sheep he or she owns. Therefore, because sheep are valuable and prone to wander, shepherds are needed, and shepherding techniques were developed over many centuries. Over the centuries, all kinds of ingenious ideas were developed to control sheep, everything from the shepherd's crook or staff, fencing methods, sheepdogs, and even mixing sheep with goats, and there's a good reason for that as well. In modern farming, one method that's used to keep sheep from straying is to put what they call hoof proof gates across entryways into a pasture. Now, trucks and humans can easily go through this gate, but it's got rounded pipes laid over a trench, and the sheep are really hesitant to try and step over it because it's hard to get footing on those round pipes. In 2006, in Yorkshire, England, they discovered that sheep are not as stupid as people thought they were. On one particular sheep farm that employed these hoof grates that I talked about, there was one sheep in particular that had learned how to transgress the great gate. He simply would come up to the gate, lay down, and roll over it. Now, you know that sheep are a herding animal, don't you? So they all watched the one sheep do it, and then the entire flock rolled over that gate and out into the countryside. These wandering sheep got into people's gardens. They were chased by local dogs. They blocked roadways. It took a long time, but finally the shepherds were able to gather up all the stray animals and put them back in the pasture. And within a day, what happened? They did it again. They rolled out and caused even more mischief again. As I indicated before, roving wild animals, packs of dogs, cars, unfamiliar terrain can all harm or kill a stray sheep. Keeping and protecting sheep is a time-consuming and costly endeavor. In John chapter 10, Jesus speaks very familiar words to his disciples, reminding them of something they knew very well. He was reminding them how costly the work of a shepherd was. Being a shepherd in Jesus' day meant literally putting your life on the line. Putting your life on the line to defend your herd against lions and wolves and even more dangerously, poachers. One wonders, even with the enjoyment of wool and mutton, why anyone would ever bother with these very needy animals. Why indeed? The answer is that the shepherd loves his or her sheep. They are precious to the shepherd. It is interesting then that the prophet Isaiah wrote these words in chapter 53. We all are like sheep that have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him, that means Jesus or the suffering servant, the iniquity of us all. It would clearly seem that Isaiah is suggesting that, surprise, surprise, you and I, we need a shepherd. Do we need a shepherd? Are we prone to behave like sheep do, wandering away from safety and security? In 1 Peter 2, we are called to follow Jesus, the good shepherd, or to walk in his steps. You might wonder, why? Why would anyone that thinks they're an intelligent person, such as we, need guidance, need direction? Are we not masters of our own destiny? Beyond tradition and quaint ideas, no one in today's world would believe that Christianity makes any difference at all in the world. Well, guess what? The Chinese government believes Christianity makes a difference. Yes, you heard me right. The Chinese government. According to a report in Open Door Ministry, the Chinese government had a problem in the county of Lankan Lahu in Yunnan province. I should have had John read that for you. You see, for many years, people in that region of China were living lives of great despair and chaos. They primarily were almost to a person addicted to opium. One official was quoted as saying, "Their addiction has made them weak and sick." Then they would often go to what were pagan priests who would require animal sacrifices of such extravagance that the people became poor. And because they were poor, they ended up stealing from each other. And law and order in that area of China just deteriorated to no end. It was a vicious cycle, and no amount of government propaganda could stop it. The official continued in his report. He noticed, however, that in some villages in that area, in that county, the Lahu were actually a prosperous and peace-loving people. There was no drug problem. There was no stealing. There was no social order problems. Households had plentiful amounts of pigs and oxen and chickens. So we commissioned a study, he says, a survey, to find out what made these villages different. And to our astonishment and embarrassment, these are his words, we discovered that the key factor was that these villages had a majority in them of Christians. In 1998, officials launched a daring experiment for China, the likes that have never been seen for many, many years. The government, paying all expenses, sponsored Christians to go into these troubled villages and share their faith. They started in the worst affected village, which had 240 people in it, 107 of which were hopelessly addicted to opium. Wow. The villagers were forced by the government to gather together in the central square of the village and listen to Christians from other villages who gave their testimony of their faith in Jesus. A year later in that village, drug abuse had dropped. People were becoming more prosperous. The crime rate all but disappeared. It would seem that the Chinese government had learned an all-important lesson that we all need a shepherd. Some shepherds lead us to devastating life choices, but only one leads us to green pastures. Only one restores our soul. Only one walks with us through the valley of the shadow of death. Even the communist government of China, which promotes Marxist-Leninist ideology, came to realize the value of Christian faith. It is ironic, considering Karl Marx said that religion is the opiate of the people. It would seem in Lahu, China, the opiate of the masses is a far more effective conductor of social peace than what was derived from the poppy fields. The truth the world does not want to admit is that when people follow Jesus, this world is a better place. That's not to say that some terrible things haven't been done in the name of Christianity, but when people sincerely follow the pure example of the Good Shepherd, hope is always close behind. There is, of course, some reluctance on our part to follow the Good Shepherd, isn't there? This is especially true when we read verse 21 of 1 Peter 2, where Peter writes, "The suffering is all part of what God has called you to. Christ, who suffered for you, is your example." Excuse me? Suffering is all part of God's plan for my life? This, my friends, is the bitter pill to swallow, and yet it gets worse. Peter goes on to tell us that in following Christ's example, we are to be patient when we are struck by our enemies. We are also to avoid sin, not to deceive anyone, refuse to seek revenge, and ultimately leave our case in the hands of God. What Peter is calling us to is absolute, unflinching, sacrificial commitment to the leadership of the Good Shepherd. We are to be imitators of the Good Shepherd Jesus. Or as Paul puts it in Philippians 2:5, your attitude should be the same as Christ Jesus. You know, the trouble is, though, that it's very hard to imitate Jesus, isn't it? So much of our experience tempts us to imitate someone or something else, namely the worst incarnation of ourselves. I think we can appreciate this little profound prayer I found. I think it should be posted up on every wall. Lord, please make me the kind of person my dog thinks I am. Or maybe you've heard this little prayer. Lord, so far so good. I haven't sworn today, stolen anything, boasted, gotten angry at anyone, or even had any evil thoughts. But now comes the test, and I implore for your help. I have to get up and go to work. Boy, those prayers are true, aren't they? They reflect the struggle we all have in life. We are all sheep that go astray, all of us. No matter how good we know life following Christ is, for some reason we still get pulled away to other pastures. Even worse is that when we take our eyes off the shepherd, we end up following the herd, and no matter what that terrible destination might be that the herd is heading to, we still follow. Another true story. One morning, while shepherds were eating breakfast outside the town of Gevais, Turkey, they were surprised to all look up and see one lone sheep jump off a nearby cliff and follow its death. They were stunned, however, when the rest of nearly 1,500 sheep followed that first sheep over the cliff and fell down. When it was all over, the local newspaper reported that 450 sheep perished in that billowy white pile of sheep. The remainder of the sheep were saved because as the pile got higher and higher, their fall was cushioned. The estimated loss to the families of Gevais was $100,000, and that's an extremely high amount of money in a country where the average person only makes $2,700 a year. One shepherd was quoted as saying, "There was nothing we can do. They're all wasted." We may not wish to face it, but all of us are followers of someone or something. The deciding factor of whom or what we should follow is the destination we are being led to. As Peter indicates, the journey to follow Christ as our shepherd is a difficult one. The journey may be challenging physically, mentally, spiritually. The journey may cost us. It may cost us money and time, relationship, and even our lives. But what matters ultimately is where the journey leads. This is the question that many of us fail to ask ourselves. Where is it all leading? Where is he or she, the shepherd we are following, taking us? I wonder if the sheep were capable of asking and knowing the final result of that jump off the cliff. If they knew what was going to happen, would they have so readily jumped off that cliff? There was a series of television commercials years ago that was used to raise funds for the United Way in the United States. And it raised the point that no child wanted to grow up to be a drug addict. No child determined to grow up to be a prostitute or a street person. The United Way was making the point that no one aspires to a self-destructive lifestyle. But choices that we make that seem so innocent at the time, or even attractive at the moment, can lead us to death, or at least physical or spiritual harm. Jesus promised that he came to offer life, but not just any old life. He came to offer a life of abundance. And what more abundant life can there be than going on a journey and knowing that it will end in something marvelous? It is like when we go on a holiday to a special place, a place that we have spent hours planning and dreaming about visiting. The struggles we experience at the airport or the car rental desk are tolerable because we know at the end of the struggle, we're going to be sitting on a beach or we're going to be racing around an amusement park, whatever we like. So the question then must be asked about our lives. Whose journey are you going on? Who's your tour leader? Who's your shepherd? What or who defines the direction and choices of our lives? It's not an idle question. But if you want an abundant life, you need to ask those questions. Let me therefore suggest that we should all consider following Jesus. I mean, who other than the Lord of the universe knows what's best for you? Does your spouse know better than Jesus what is best for you? Don't answer that too quickly. Do your children know what's best for you? How about your boss at work or that teacher at school? How about your parents? Do they know what's best for you? Despite those who claim authority over us, that they have the very best of intentions for us, they can get it terribly wrong in dictating your life's destination, your life's direction. But to keep the peace or to make them happy, we compromise ourselves into making choices according to their wishes and not the wishes of God. And what is God's desire for us? I just told you, He wants us to have life and have it in abundance. A young Indian brave requested a meeting with the chief of the tribe. And when he got inside the chief's tent, he said, "Oh, great chief, I understand that you name each child in our tribe." "That's true," the chief replied. "Oh, great chief, would you please explain to me how it is that you come to choose names for the children that are born?" Well, the chief bowed his head for a moment and then he responded, "When news comes to me that a child has been born in our tribe, I bow my head in silent thanksgiving. And when I look up, the first sight my eyes behold becomes the name of that child. If I see a deer running by, the child's name is Running Deer. If I see snowflakes in the air, the child's name is Snow Gently Falling. But tell me, dying dog, why do you ask?" What is going to define you? What name shall you bear? Shall we be defined by the world or defined by Jesus? The choice is up to us. But if we allow anyone else other than Christ to define who we are, we risk losing our abundant life to the hazards of this world. Can you honestly live with such a risk? Or will you now turn to the shepherd who can be the guardian of your soul?